Step into your private luxury premium blocked party episode. The content you can only get by giving us your money. Look at you, you're such a big time.
Everybody, welcome back to another bonus edition of Blocked Party. This is Hell Block number 10. If this is your first time tuning into a Hell Block, this is an episode that looks a lot like a main episode. However, it is our little goblin friend Stefan who got blocked in this case. And so
That's right.
When we get to the block tale, we'll hear from him. But we are very happy to be back to be doing this with a great friend of ours who I think you may officially have the record between for longest time between appearances. She made her first appearance on episode 11.
Oh my
and
God.
Is now back here on Hell Block 10. Jenny Taze is here. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi. With you guys. Block boys.
Great to have you. Great to have you back. I will say, just for the record, it is, I think, the longest time between appearances, but for those of you listening, this is not because of anything that we did. We wanted to have Jenny back on the show, but she is too nice.
Very
and she
nice.
Doesn't get blocked by anyone.
Maybe our nicest guest. I think probably our nicest guest.
Yes. And so this is the problem, Jenny, is every time I've asked, you're like, well, I don't block anybody and no one blocks me. So I don't know what to do.
You've had some very good guests on your podcast and they get blocked but I think they're nice people too. It's just, they know how to like be hilarious on Twitter and they know how to troll people. And I've tried to no avail. I just went too hard too fast. I was like, I want to be on Block Party again. So I'm going to join Twitter and I'm going to tweet Jeff Bezos and ask him for $1 million. But it's like, Jenny, you're a loser. That's not how people get very dumb.
You have to threaten him. You have to like physically threaten him, I think.
Right.
Yeah. That
which I think you should do. I would be really here for the series of posts where you physically threaten Jeff Bezos, I'll be honest.
Yeah. But this is a good episode for you to come on because like John said off the top, it's about one of my blocks. And this one in particular is one of my favorites.
I'm excited. I like a good Stefan block.
It's a bit I've done before. I mean, I won't say, I mean, if you're listening to the episode, you know who the block is, I guess. But I will just say it's the block was achieved using a strategy and a bit that I love to do, which is where when someone does a very stupid or bad post, but they like sincerely think it's good, I will steal the post. And people will get like their fans will get like very mad at me for stealing it. And they think I stole it because it was good, because I thought it was good, but I'm stealing it like ironically because it would be so ridiculous if I actually posted it. Anyway, we'll get to that later. But that's one of my favorite things to do online. So I'm glad I
recently had that actually happen to me because Stefan, you and I have talked on the show before about how we are into NBA Top Shot.
Oh no. Yeah.
Which
we haven't talked about this yet, have we?
No. So this is, so Jenny, and for our listeners who maybe don't know, NBA Top Shot is like it's like an online collectible platform. So it's sort of like bringing trading cards into online in the form of, videos. So instead of it being a static image on a card, it's a video of a player doing a thing. Anyway, it's a fun website and Stefan and I spend some time on there. And
it has to be NBA related.
Yes, this one is strictly related to NBA. Yeah. So So there's an NBA player named Josh Hart. He's like a role player on the New Orleans Pelicans. He's not very good, but he was like kind of one of the early adopters as far as like actual NBA players getting into the platform. And he does this thing where he will kind of like, he's like really shitty to people about it. Like he's got like 500,000 followers on Twitter, and he will like ask people to like give him deals, like on these online cards and stuff.
Cause you can, the whole point is you can like sell them to other people.
There's you can sell them. It's like a it's like an online marketplace. And you can sell the cards to each other.
Some of them are worth quite a bit.
Like, yeah, hundreds of thousands. The top sale ever is like $350,000. So some of these are going for like...
I need to get some expensive playing cards.
Get into it.
You do. Yes.
My whole thing lately is I need more money. So
this is a good way to do it.
On a card that's worth a lot, but it's cheap to buy, and then I can flip it. Let me know.
John can help you with that.
Yeah, I can help you. Yeah, absolutely. So this is the thing about Josh Hart is his salary is $3.5 million a year. And he's like asking his fans to like give him moments or give him deals on the cards are called moments. He's asking for deals, and he does this all the time. Like, it's not just like one time. Like, the most egregious example is he did his first ever kind of Twitch stream with NBA Top Shot, and someone gifted him his jersey number. So the moments have numbers, and some of the most expensive moments are the ones that share a number with the player's jersey number. So someone gave Josh's jersey number to him, and then he immediately listed it for sale for $2,500, and it sold. So he just like
rough.
I like very that. Rough. To me, that is very funny. I appreciate that. That's a power move to me.
To me, it would be funny if he didn't seem like such a dick. I think that's the thing. But anyway, so he's go ahead, Jenny.
Why are they called moments?
Because it's like a video of it. So it's like a highlight in time. It's like a highlight.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So it'll be like a highlight of like a dunk.
I see.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why I guess they call it a moment.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a moment. You know,
it's a moment in time. They have it's actually, they're in the pocket of Big Pudding. It's a Magic Moments tie-in.
Oh, my God.
And that's a joke only for.
I don't
a
even
very
get that.
Small
just the context, I get it, I think, because you said it.
There was
enough,
a pudding company called Magic Moments.
Yeah. No, I didn't know that.
In the late 90s, early aughts. Very good pudding, actually. I wish it was still around.
Pudding
in any
sucks.
Case,
pudding fucking sucks.
I mean, what? Pudding is delicious.
Pudding is garbage. We can get into this right now.
If someone gives it to me, I'm not going to make it on my own. But all
pudding, it's just so, it's like cold. The texture's awful. Pudding is garbage.
What are you talking about?
No, I'm anti-pudding.
Layer of cake.
No.
Yes,
no pudding
exactly.
For me.
Pudding cake is fantastic. Pudding itself is so. What do you mean you don't like the texture? It's perfect. It's cold. It's not. It's.
It's like cold and slimy. It sucks. It's not pleasurable.
Oh, it is pleasurable.
No. Okay. Pudding is nasty. I can't believe this is a controversial opinion. Pudding sucks.
Pudding is really good, man. Ugh. I think people are going to be mad at you for this.
No, I think people will side with me. It's going to be 50-50.
But what about custard? That's kind of like pudding.
But it's the texture's a little bit nicer in custard. I'm still not a huge custard guy, but pudding like chocolate pudding, no, not for me. No good.
In a trifle?
With a what?
In a trifle? You know, the layers.
Trifle so good.
I like I do like trifle, but is that more like whipped cream? Then that's like custard in there, I guess.
It's custard.
Right?
That's custard.
Pudding in trifle. I've had it put in trifle.
But then I think the good ingredients in the trifle drown out the pudding, so it's fine.
John's
right?
Just like, let me finish my damn story.
No, I'm not at all. I'm pissed that Stefan doesn't like pudding.
Pudding on its own sucks. I'm sorry.
I've never heard anyone say that.
Oh my God.
Me neither.
I thought this is a common opinion to have.
No. Pudding is delicious.
Pudding is bad.
On Seinfeld when George makes pudding skin singles. He makes pudding and then whatever's on top that kind of like rubberizes, he takes off and puts in like in between like wax paper so he can just sell just that part because he thinks that's the best part. See, that's weird. But pudding is...
Yeah, but people who like the pudding skin, I you're psycho. That's the worst part for sure, I would say.
Whatever. I'm shocked. I thought hating pudding was a more common opinion. I guess it's not.
Well,
we'll
see.
Find out,
I mean, we'll
you
see
know?
Once this comes out. But I think I'm right in saying that it is really good, and people sure. will agree okay. with me.
All right, we'll see.
I would be surprised if it turned out to be like a polarizing thing. I think a lot of people are just kind of like, yeah, whatever, I'll have it. Like, I think a lot of people are neutral on pudding, and if it's there, then it's like, oh yeah, pudding. But it would be really funny if it was like a cilantro debate where you either love it or hate it. I think
you're right. I think it's more just the fact that like I am so passionately against it, and John is so passionately pro pudding. John is a big pudding boy.
Love that.
That I think that will sort of split our listeners a bit more. But I don't know. We'll see what happens. This is coming out on
what
Wednesday,
I will say.
I guess, so
I'm not. I would never buy a pudding cup. Like in a store, like
oh,
I don't.
Okay,
like,
but you love pudding. Yet you would never support big pudding. You wouldn't buy a pudding cup, but you love pudding.
So when I go grocery shopping, I don't like the like Hunt snack pack or whatever. That is dog shit to your pudding.
Oh, it's fun though.
But same as Jenny, though, I would say if someone gave me that, like if I went to like a work event and the lunch they provided included a snack pack or something, I'd be like, sure, I'll eat it. I'm just not going
to
buy
it. I'd be like, this lunch has little pudding cups? Dope.
Yes, so exactly.
Up again tomorrow.
But do you agree you wouldn't buy that necessarily if you went grocery shopping? You wouldn't buy a snack pack?
I looked at a pudding cup a little long the other day. I didn't buy it. So I guess I'm with you, John.
There you go. Thank you. But like a homemade, like a good pudding?
That's nice.
This is fucked.
Very good. So... In any case, Josh Hart did a tweet where he said, you know, if anyone has any deals on Moments, hit me up in the DM. And so I screen capped his salary and I said, dude, you make 50 times more than I do. How about you give me a deal on a moment?
Okay.
And like, I think that is very obviously I am being sarcastic, but sort of the same thing that you were saying, Stefan, this is a very long way of getting there. But what you were saying is like people thought I was being like, oh, you fucking broke ass bitch. Like you want him to give you got your hands out. You want him to give you a mo-. I'm like, no, I don't want anything from him. I just think it's a joke that an NBA player is like exploiting his fans.
He quote tweeted
money.
You, right? He quote
yes,
tweeted
you.
Yes,
he quote
tweeted
me
when...
and he said assholes like this never get anything. But he hasn't. But he's never given
but
anything.
No one
out.
Gets anything from. Well,
yeah. So. Like, it was just so dumb. It was just, that was the part that pissed me off. I didn't really care that he quote tweeted me or whatever, but it's like all the people in his mentions just like licking his boots because he's like a sort of famous guy. But
yeah,
like not
he played for the Lakers too, right? For a
did
bit.
He? I don't know.
I feel like he was part of the Anthony Davis trade maybe.
Oh, that could be right. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, he's a bum. I don't care about him. I think it's ridiculous what he does to his fans. And I also think, it was just very stupid to see these bootlickers be like, so you don't think he should ask for moments, but then you turn around and ask him for what? I'm like, you have to be so
that's
fucking dumb.
That's pretty ridiculous to not pick up on that. Also, like, if he did, you'd take it, right? Because
of course.
Yeah.
Like, it's like in Arrested Development when that kid, like the hot teacher is there and the boy in grade 8's like, you want to dance? Like he says it as a joke, but then when he does, he's like, yeah. So that's the way I would approach asking rich people for money. Like, why don't you give me some money? And then when they do, I'd be like, nice.
Yeah, it's like a bit. It's like I'm doing a bit here. Oh, wouldn't it be so funny if Bill Gates gave me $30,000?
Yeah,
and then he calls your bluff, and it's like, okay, great. I mean, I'm like begging for money online, but I got
and you're like,
it.
Like, I love Bill Gates now. You're like a big Bill Gates stan. You're like, this guy. Yeah. I love this guy. It was like
a Bill Gates hat every day of the week.
Bill Gates hat. I just wear a Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation hat around.
Bill again.
I would love for real like a Windows 95 hat like from back in like 1995. I would wear like a dad hat that said Windows 95 on it.
For
in fact,
sure.
I'm going to try and buy one later this afternoon because I'm sure they exist.
You know what? All this talk makes me want to give him some money. Yeah.
All this talk about how he has way more money than me makes me want to give him some of mine. We had that, Stefan, you probably saw this week. Our friend and past guest, Patty Moe, Patrick Monahan from What a Time to Be Alive. Tweeted a joke out and Elon Musk stole it. like just straight up stole the joke and tweeted it like it was his own.
And not in a funny way like I do it, just to make things clear.
Yeah, yeah. No, he was doing it like I came up with this was like the way. And Patty Mo has like almost 200,000 followers on Twitter. It's not like he's some nobody. Like the original tweet had like 10,000 retweets. So it's not like it was just he plucked it from some account and it had like no it was already well established that this was Patty Mo's tweet and he just completely stole it, didn't give credit to Patty. And then Patty responded to him and he was like, "Hey man, thanks for stealing my tweet. By any chance, would you want to give me $80,000?
And then Elon Musk deleted it. So
I would like it if Elon Musk like went looking for like a really good tweet. And then he stole it and it went viral. And then in the comment under, he's like, "Oh, geez, well, now that you're here, check out this." And he like puts the Tesla like thing.
I think a really good bit.
This is blowing up.
I think legitimately a really good bit. Because like nothing Elon Musk has ever done has ever been funny on purpose other than his rockets exploding, I guess. But
his child's name.
Yeah, I guess that was. Yeah. But if
I misunderstood you. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So I think what would be actually like a legitimately funny bit, because everything he posts gets like 100,000 retweets or whatever, right? Because he's like super popular with all these like Dutch freaks or whatever it is. But it would be really, really funny if he posted something and then replied to it with those, with like the galaxy lights that you always see under the viral, you know? Because like if you have a post that goes viral, like the galaxy lights company will like DM you and be like, "Hey, do you want to post this under your viral tweet? We'll give you like $50 or whatever." It would be so fucking like that would genuinely be a really funny bit if Elon Musk did the galaxy lights thing under one of his stupid posts. So
he tied it into SpaceX or something. Like he was like, "Oh, hey, like when my rockets go up into space, I bet they wish they had galaxy lights or what, you know,
or if
really
he does the vibrator, because the other viral one you see all the time, it's the galaxy lights or it's like that like vibrator. Those are the two that you see in like the viral tweet replies. Yeah,
is it a vibrator or is it like one of the like more like the suction ones?
I think it's more it's shaped, it's like U shaped sort of.
Yeah,
right?
I think it's the suction one, isn't it?
Yeah,
no, I think it might be. Not. No, I know the one you're talking about.
Like a vibrator?
So it's the same thing as the galaxy lights where this like vibrator company will DM you and be like, "Hey, do you want to post about us in the replies to your viral post?"
Yeah.
So if you see a viral post, click in the replies and most likely you will see the vibrator post or the galaxy lights post. There's a couple other ones I think as well, but I think it genuinely would be very funny if with just a complete straight face, Elon Musk put that in his replies, but he's never
the
gonna
vibrator.
Do that.
Yeah. I know the vibrator you're talking about has, it's got like an insertion part and a clit stimulation part.
That's
if
right.
I recall correctly.
That's correct. Correct.
Just
John,
so
that's
we
long.
Get this correct on the record.
Yeah.
We want to make sure we're talking about the right vibrator here.
Absolutely.
Cause people will call the suction ones vibrators and that's like technically incorrect, you know?
Yes. No, you're right. 100%.
Just trying to clear that up.
You call me out on it. Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah.
Well, I didn't call you out on it. I called myself out because I said the wrong thing. And then I was like, okay, we got to make sure we get the vibrator.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough.
So,
yeah. Well, we know what it is now. So, you know,
this is why we bring you on the show, Jenny. Jenny's like, "Please don't make me talk about this anymore."
I will say like, Jenny, your background is kind of putting us all to shame. Cool stuff you have back there.
Oh, cool stuff. Okay.
Yeah. Well, like, so
in a jail cell.
I think someone on the Twitch stream said I look like I'm in like a dentist's like waiting room or something. So it's all
office for sure.
It's very officey. It's not a good look and it fucks up with the lighting as well. I'm not a big fan of it, but you know, what can you do? It's still like a nice little private office. I got the sliding glass door right here. John, you've got the Blocked Party sign behind you. You've got a real plant, I believe, right? That's a real plant.
It is
right
a real
there.
Plant. Yeah, it's a snake plant. Yeah, snake
plant. Right. You knew that already. I was just excited because it's really tall. It's a nice one. I can't wait till mine gets that tall.
We did. Yeah. I mean, that's all Becca, but it's doing lovely. Well. It's healthy. She's got a bunch. I mean, Jenny, obviously, you're a big plant freak.
Yeah.
I was a plant freak. What? That's.
Is that a nice thing to say?
I don't think I'm saying anything. I don't think I'm
telling
tales out
of school here. Are you a plant freak?
A freak for plants.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I don't know.
you can call Jenny a plant freak. It's fine.
Well, Jenny loves plants.
I haven't heard that one before.
Well, What I would say, Jenny, for those of you who don't know, if you don't follow Jenny on Instagram, she posts a lot of stuff about plants and flowers and stuff like that, and works outside a lot and is, you know, so I like it because I don't know anything about these things. So Jenny's excitement for it genuinely is like good to me.
Oh, yeah. Good.
So plant freak wasn't meant to be derogatory.
I didn't think it was.
Okay, well that was me. I think just because he'll call me like a freak and he means it as an insult. So I was just used to hearing John calling me a freak of some kind, and I became
defensive.
I just
assume the words for me are nice.
That's a good assumption, I think. But
you so nice is that you just assume the best of people all the time.
Exactly.
You're like, oh, John said plant freak. I could take that the wrong way, or I could just choose to understand that he's saying it as a term of endearment.
Yeah.
So you were right to do that. I mean, Dan has a pretty cool setup. I think he's got the big TV beside him there. He's got some hard drives or something. What is that next to you there? What are the, on top of the
hard drives? Yeah.
Stack of hard drives. Is that what's behind that kind of standing up there? Is that an action figure?
Yeah.
It's an Ace Frehley action figure. Yeah.
Okay. I take
for
okay.
The band Kiss.
Yeah. All right. So can you hold that up to the
Ace Frehley camera? He's the cat, right?
He's
the spaceman.
Oh, he's got the star. He's got the star, I think. Right?
I was going to say spaceman, and then I fucked myself.
Okay, that is pretty cool, actually.
Ace Frehley always makes me think of the Weezer song "In the Garage."
Exactly. Yes,
where he says, yeah. "I've got Ace Frehley, I've got Peter Criss waiting there for me. Yes, I do."
What a great song!
Yes,
but Jenny, your background is very. You've got a nice framed map of Canada. You've got the little
tilting the screen
mini,
for the listener so they can
the little,
see it.
The little mini home gym there. It's very nice, you know?
Yeah, the Canada has each province's provincial flower.
Oh, wow. See what I'm saying. This is it.
Yeah, yeah. Plant freak. Okay, you are a plant freak. I'm sorry.
And
okay,
can I star painting of the tree? Not an original, otherwise I'd sell it for lots of money. Brent framed that for me because he used to work at a framing place.
Wow.
Wonderful.
This is a Bowflex that came from Brent's dad. I've never used.
And now, I feel like I don't really, I don't, okay, provincial flowers. I think I might only know.
I know BC's.
So do I. But I think I might only know four total is my guess. Can we guess here? So let's go. So Stefan, go ahead. You know BC's.
Wait, I don't know if this is a tree or a flower though. Dogwood?
Yeah, that's the BC one. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. So
well,
I got that one.
It's the dogwood flower on the tree.
Right. Okay.
It's funny because so the dogwood flower is our provincial flower. And in Missouri, where my mom is from, it's the state tree. So my mom and dad, like one's from BC, one's from Missouri. They both have.
Wow. Okay.
I don't think I knew that you were half American.
Well, I mean, I was born in Canada.
Yeah. So who cares? But you could get dual citizenship.
I have American blood in me. I could, I just never really, we never got dual when we were kids. And now I think it's more hassle than it's worth.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
You got to do taxes in another country. And it's like, meh. Even though you don't earn anything. But anyway, what's Alberta?
So Alberta, I do believe, is the wild rose.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. They have the wild rose party. I think I could have gotten to that event.
It's on their license plate, I think.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I think the only other ones I know are Ontario and Quebec.
Okay. And what are they?
So Ontario is the trillium.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then Quebec is the fleur-de-lis, right?
Yeah.
Is that's a real flower?
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to guess that as well, just on the off chance that it was a real flower.
So I think I think those are the only ones I know. I don't think I know any. Maybe I know Saskatchewan. It's on their flag, I think.
Is it just
a red? It's a red flag. Yeah, the Saskatchewan provincial flower is wheat.
I found this without this poster. Even I have to look at the poster because I don't know.
Okay, I thought maybe you would know just offhand.
John, maybe you're the plant freak.
Yeah.
Fuck, I'm just learning this now. I think those are the only four I know. I don't know
any of them. Western Red Lily is Saskatchewan.
Western Red Lily.
So it was
on
red.
The flag. It's above the wheat chaff on the flag, I believe.
Okay, all right. And what about, what else? So there's Winnipeg, or not Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Yeah, Winnipeg, the province Winnipeg, of Winnipeg.
You know what I mean. Manitoba.
Manitoba's is the prairie crocus.
Okay, see, I wouldn't have gotten that.
Never in a million years.
New Brunswick is the purple violet.
Okay.
I mean, that seems redundant.
Is the pitcher plant.
The pitcher plant?
Wow. That's a cool plant.
Yeah. The illustration of it on the poster is okay.
Yeah, like that sounds like shit. I'm looking this up. Pitcher plant.
A pitcher plant is, doesn't it trap insects? Isn't it a carnivorous plant?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a cool
plant.
Yeah,
it does. I'm looking at it right now. I mean, that is a horrific provincial flower for Newfoundland.
Yeah, it's not like pretty by any means, but it's interesting.
No.
It's practical.
It's scary. It honestly, it looks like balls. I'm going to be straight up honest with you. No offense. No, see, look, I'm going to send you guys this picture right now. And don't get too scandalized by this, but I'm dropping it in the chat here. I mean, this, you cannot tell me this isn't balls.
Oh, yeah, that looks like nuts, actually. Because it even has like the where like the cum would go. Like the nuts itself, but the tube too.
Yeah, it's got the vas deferens on there.
Yes.
Yeah.
The funny thing about this picture is that the different pictures, as it were, happen to be hanging in groups of two in this particular picture, but it's not always like that.
Okay. No, yeah. That's the only one I saw that really looked like balls. Yeah.
Yeah. Those really do look like nuts. Like they're longer, like they're very long balls, but that's about
balls.
That's about as close as you're going to get, I think.
Longbow.
A plant that looks like nuts. So I'm on board with them as a provincial.
Yeah, way to go, Newfoundland. Flower. Shout out to you.
Yeah. Yukon, they have the fireweed.
Okay.
That also seems horrible.
Scotia has the Mayflower.
Mm.
All right.
Oh, I like this one. This one's cute. Listen up. Prince Edward Island, Lady's Slipper.
Oh, that's nice.
Very fancy. Okay.
Real genteel province.
Yeah. Very genteel. I like that. I like the lady's slipper is just a fun name for something.
And then what do we, so Northwest Territories?
Yeah, and none of it.
Mountain Avens.
Okay.
If you were to draw a picture of a flower, that's what that flower looks like.
Okay.
Okay.
And then, is Nunavut on there or is this an older...
Nunavut is a purple sassafrage. I'm probably saying that wrong.
Purple sassafrage?
So it's spelt like...
Yeah, S-A-X-I-F-R-A-G-E.
Yeah, how do you say that?
That is a crazy word. Sassafrage?
I'm learning a lot.
Okay.
Holy
this is nice.
Shit.
This is nice because I think the main episode we recorded today made me much, much stupider. And so this is sort of offsetting the main episode we recorded. So I'm
hold on, I'm gonna do this right now.
Okay.
How to pronounce it. I got a YouTube pronunciation guide here. Here we go.
Yes.
Oh, you guys couldn't hear it.
No.
No.
Sorry, it's coming through my computer. It's saxifrage.
Saxifrage. Okay.
It's like kind of like what it looks, except for
I love
fridge. Purple saxifrage.
I love looking up words like a words pronunciation where you'll Google like so and so how to pronounce, and it'll come up with like the phonetic way to pronounce it, and I'm like, well, no,
that's not
any help at all. I don't know what that says. That says the same. That's the same way I think it should be pronounced. But how is it actually pronounced? So you have to watch the YouTube one, and then the YouTube one is always like 2 minutes long, and they say the word once 45 seconds into the video. So you have to like scrub ahead to try and find it. It's so fucking stupid. Just
this
do a
one
YouTube
was good.
Video.
It was 18 seconds long, and the guy repeated it four times.
That's beautiful. That's perfect.
Like saxifrage.
But I'm telling you, there's a couple pronunciation channels that the videos are like 2 minutes long and they say it like twice in the video, and just say it the entire way through so it gets hammered into my head, you know?
Right.
It's like the recipe blogs where they write it's like the recipe blogs where the, you know, they'll write this like long story before they get to the recipe. It's like, I love barbecues. I remember when I barbecued when I was a kid and my dad would open up the fire pit and it was so amazing, and the whole community would gather around and we would make, you know, it's like, just tell me how to
but that
make
that at
pork,
least has something
know?
To do with food, right? Because the ones that True. I read are like, oh, at New York 2001, it was a cold September morning. I just want to know how to make corn. Just tell me how to make corn, you know?
How to make corn.
Yeah, just perfect. How to make corn.
Yeah, how do I make corn, dude?
No, I was just saying, like, I feel like that's what I'm imagining the pronunciation video is like.
Yes.
Like, you're clicking on saxifrage or whatever, and it's like this flower, it grows mainly in the Arctic tundra, and gives you just like a ton of facts about it, and you're like, I just wanted to know how to pronounce it. And they refuse to say it as they're explaining it. They won't say the saxifrage grows in mostly normal. It's like the purple flower grows mainly in the, and they just like, they're like teasing you.
Yeah.
To make you wait. And it's
it
not
was
like
all day on my wedding day. I had never been touched by a man before. I wanted a flower that would it's like, just come on, man.
Oh man, that is good.
What's great about those recipe though things now is there is a button at the top before you can even read. As a busy mama, like before you even read that, there's a button that says jump to recipe now. And it's it's the best.
That's very progressive. Like it's because it really is a thing, I think, where it almost became cliche to complain about those recipe blogs because it was just such, you would deal with it all the time. But you're like the worst, it's so much worse too when you're looking at it on your phone. Because there will also be like all of these like pop-up ads and even if you have ad block and stuff, like there's still like stuff popping up or it'll do the thing where you're scrolling, but then it'll like go into like another window kind of thing. And it's just like such a disaster trying to just scroll to the bottom and find
the
recipe.
You have to wait. There's a delay until the little X pops up so that you can get rid of it.
Oh my God. I mean, the worst thing for me on browsing on mobile is when you go to like press a link and right as you press it, something else loads into the window. So you press that instead and like shifts it down slightly. I mean, that is just, can we get our top scientists on that, please? Can we fix that, please?
Another this COVID bullshit. Fix this ad thing for me. It's driving me crazy.
Let me be redirected to the app store every time I want to look up a recipe. Let's work on that.
Yeah, that's a good point as well. There's a lot of redirection. And speaking of redirecting things, let's redirect this podcast to our social media updates.
What a good segue.
Boy, was it smooth.
Stefan and John
are going to bring you the news. Prepare for a feast of rarefied takes. Terrible tweets from verified greats. They'll bring their personal feed to ya with an update on their
social
media.
That was very nice, John. Very nice.
Feels good. Well done. Feels good. I don't know why I looked at my bicep when I did the
No, that was
flex
good.
There.
That's very good.
It's not that impressive, so I don't know why I did it, but whatever. It's all good. Jenny, we always like to start with the guest. What's going on your social media?
Not a hell of a lot. Like I said, I joined Twitter a little while ago and I wrote a bunch of tweets asking celebrities for money because I thought it was funny.
It's a good bit.
And then my boyfriend was like, yeah, I don't even know. What are you doing? Like, what is that? And then I saw this thing on Instagram that was a little video from like a Simpsons video, and it was Homer and he was around all these other Homers. I don't know what episode it was from. I didn't
it's a Halloween special, I think, where he gets a hammock that clones people. So.
Okay. Yeah. And do you remember it? And they're all saying like what they do and like Homer's.
Oh no, that's the one where he brings in all of his relatives to show
that's
Lisa.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and one guy's like, I shoot birds at the airport. I jump in front of cars and then sue them.
Right, yeah. He's trying to prove to Lisa that she might be smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And they're all just losers. And one of them says, I asked celebrities for money. And I was like, oh, man. This is great. I'm Homer's relatives. So I deleted them. And then I was like, I'm going to be great at Twitter now. And then I just
Did you get any replies at all? Any feedback from the celebrities? Or?
Absolutely not. I got a like from a local comedian when I wrote, "Who wants to give me some cold hard cash?" I got some like on that one, but it's like, you know, this is lame. Like, so I just kind of tweet when I feel like saying something silly, and if it gets a like, cool. Tweet is hard.
So
you can tell how versed I am in the Twitter universe. So
my strategy here for you, I think, would be you should start like cold calling these celebrities in the middle of the night and asking for money, because then it's sort of like a fun bit, because it's only between you and the celebrity, right? So it's like a fun joke that you're sharing with a celebrity, and they will feel threatened and scared, and they might be likelier to do it. So, That's my idea here, I think, is the middle of the night phone call to Bruno Mars asking him for $400. I think that's the strategy.
400. I guess start slow and
start. Exactly. Yeah.
That's the thing. Yeah. I started too aggressively. I went straight to the big guys. I went straight to
Jeff Bezos.
I think I asked Joe Rogan, maybe Mike Tyson.
How much did you ask for?
$10,000. That's all I want.
That's nothing to them, right? That's a good idea, right? Because that's like nothing to them, but that's a lot to us, right?
They so have like that in their couch cushions, probably.
Absolutely, like, yeah.
What are you going to do with that? It's like on The Office when Michael is trying to get a hot dog for free because he doesn't have any money.
Yeah.
And the guy's like trying to get him to leave. And he's like, well, what do you do with the hot dogs that you don't sell at the end of the day? You throw them away? The guy's like, I guess so. He's like, why don't you just throw one away now into my mouth? And I think that's the kind of the energy I'd like to bring into my asking for money. Just kind of.
Yeah. Can you throw away some money into my mouth?
You accidentally drop $10,000 when you're jogging. Like, just drop it into my bank account.
Yeah. $10,000 to a celebrity is like a hot dog of money. I think that's the hot dog of money to a celebrity is $10,000. So can you give me a hot dog of money into my mouth, please?
Hot dog of money. That's a hot dog of money.
I think that's the way to do it. You know? Yeah.
I think
we're going to make this happen for you, Jenny.
I think you can do it. I saw one of these that was really funny to me, actually. It was one of the guys who's on Dragon's Den, although he just announced this week that he's leaving Dragon's Den, Lane Merrifield. And he's like kind of become, you know, he was a pretty popular dragon. He just seems like a nice man, just, you know, even for a rich guy. Like he invented Club Penguin, and then he sold it to Disney.
Dude, is that why he's on Dragon's Den?
Yeah. Club Penguin. He sold it to Disney for like $400 million or something, like absurd amount of money.
Jenny, Club Penguin is
like pocket change.
So wait, yes. Jenny, do you know what Club Penguin is?
No.
Club Penguin is like, I guess it was like a proto social media thing, sort of, but it was where kids would go and pretend to be penguins, right?
Yeah, I think it was like Neopets.
It was Neopets, but it was like almost like an MMO, because you're like wandering around these like little rooms with other like penguins who are like kids. And you're just like talking to them, basically. But it was like extremely popular.
I would have been all over that.
Well, so he sold that to Disney, and then he had an education company that he just sold. And so that's the reason he's leaving Dragon's Den. He's like, I just sold my company. I just don't want to work for a while. I'm going to take some time with my family. And that includes Dragon's Den. So I'm leaving. But anyway, he seems like a nice man, and he doesn't have that many followers on Instagram because he just got it. So he didn't get it like in the middle, like when he started. I think if he started on Dragon's Den and got it right when he started, he'd have 100,000 followers, but he just got it this year. So he only has like 9,000 followers. I asked him to come on Block Party and he saw the message. That's how you know that it's like, you know, because I commented on one of his pictures because he was talking about going on a podcast, and I was like a different one. And I was like, Lane, you should come on my podcast called Block Party. We talk about Dragon's Den a lot. I think you would like it. And he liked it underneath the photo. So then I was like, Lane, so I DM'd him. I was like, Lane, I saw that like, you got to come on our show. And he saw it. So I was like, this guy, I mean, he's online.
He's desperate.
He's desperate. So he does these Instagram AMAs, and this person had asked him, sorry, Jenny.
I'm just being a tool.
Okay. You're allowed. That's good. So It was an Instagram AMA, and someone asked, would you pay off my student debt? They said something like, oh, my, and it wasn't that much. It was like, my student debt's like $10,000, or it might have even been less.
Yeah.
Would you pay it off? And he chose to answer it in video form. And you could see that he was like actually considering it, because I think he just really quickly did it. Like, it didn't seem like he had thought about it before he started filming himself. And you could see him go through the wheel in his head of like, I want to help this person out. They're a student. I can afford it, but I just can't give them money because then everybody will just keep asking me for money all the time. So he did this like pause, and then he's like, I don't think I can do that. And then that was it. But it was like,
that's the closest
I've ever seen an actual rich person to being like, I'll take care of your stuff.
That's, to me, garbage. Like, that's just like burns. I'm doing references too much today because I have no experience in the last year because of COVID. So it's just
none of us do. It's
no,
okay.
That's okay. Yeah.
It's like on The Simpsons when Burns is like, I'd like to donate $1 million to the local children's charity when pigs fly. And then the pig flies by.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I'd still rather not.
Yeah. I mean, I think
that's what that guy reminds me of. Just a selfish guy who doesn't care about people that have no money. You know what? That's rude.
You just want money and you're mad that no one will give it to you.
Pardon me?
I said, you just want money and you're mad that no one will give it to you.
I mean, I'm not mad at people for not giving me money. It would be cool if they wanted to give me some money.
Well, we're going to give you some money for appearing on this episode. So.
There you go.
So there's that.
Yeah.
You're like, sweet. That's what I was actually angling for. I'm just one podcast at a time. I'm just going to keep talking about how much money I need. And then eventually they will relent. Stefan, what's going on your social media?
Well, I saw this yesterday, and I know Dan and John, you saw this too, because you were watching the UFC fights. I wasn't, but I saw like obviously like the highlights that were posted on Twitter.
I mean, I don't know if I would call this a highlight.
Well, one of them was the Trump supporter getting KO'd.
Yes.
After doing like the little like shimmy and like laughing at the guy for missing him with a punch.
Yeah.
And then just getting absolutely destroyed. So that was very funny. He's I think said and posted a lot of bad stuff. And he's most certainly Trump and Trump Jr. And so that's very funny to see him get knocked out. But the one I was
Before the second wave happened in America, he was planning on doing a tour with Donald Trump called Fighting Against Socialism. So,
oh my God. And I think he's also said some QAnon stuff as well.
Oh yeah. He's a pile of shit.
Yeah. So it's very funny to see him get knocked out. But the one I was thinking of, which again, John, it's not a highlight maybe, but I think this is the second worst leg break I've seen on TV.
Oh, it was so brutal.
So I want to ask you about this, John. Yeah, did you see it?
No, I just heard about it, and I prefer not to see.
We will not. Yeah, we won't show the video because
I didn't watch the replay. Like, I saw it live, and like that was enough. I was like sick to my stomach.
I was going to ask John what it was like watching it live.
Oh, it was horrible. It was horrible. Especially because a similar thing had happened the fight before. So it was like, so the first fight of the night, Jimmy Crute got kicked in his perineal nerve in your leg, which I guess if you get kicked in it a certain way, it can like give you drop foot like instantly. So
it puts your foot to sleep or like,
yeah. So basically your like entire lower leg goes to sleep to the point where your foot like droops. So you can't like walk. So it looked like he had maybe like torn his ACL or MCL, but it wasn't that at all. It was like he literally couldn't, and maybe it'll come out that he did get more injured than that, but I feel like Jenny just looked up the, you had a look on your face. Like
no,
you
I yawned.
Oh, okay. it was like so weird to watch because he like couldn't stand on it and they ended up like ending the fight. And so that was already like kind of weird and gross. And then, yeah. And then one of the, and it was like 5 seconds into the fight. It was the very first strike of the fight.
Chris
was
Weidman.
A leg kick thrown by Chris Weidman. And the other guy checked the kick, which means he just like sort of raised his foot at the right time so that the kick hits your shin bone, instead of your calf. And so, his leg like snapped his, and if
it snapped like around the leg.
Yeah. Fibula and tibia both,
Then he stepped and then he put his full weight on
and then he didn't realize he had broken
it. That was the worst part.
Oh, no.
So then he took one step and then he went down to the mat.
So, but
he's going to have like a iron leg now.
Oh.
Iron leg.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. They're going to have to put him in an iron leg. it's like an iron lung, but you just put your leg
but
in it.
I think what I liked about that is that I saw myself in Chris Weidman, in that if I was ever put into the UFC octagon, that's what would happen to me. I mean, I think realistically what would happen to me is I would just get attacked and just like mauled to death or whatever. But if I was able to get a kick off, I think that, and it wouldn't be, so I think the thing with his leg breaking is that he had a lot of power behind his kick. And there was also a lot of power behind the leg check too, right? So when they met each other, it was like that. But with me, my kick would be very weak. I have very weak kicks. Even though you look at me and you're like, this guy's probably pretty good at kicking, because like that's kind of his go-to move, if I had to guess. And you would be correct. But I'm not good at kicking, and especially not like a proper like fighting kick. You know what I mean? So I do feel like if I went up against a UFC fighter and tried to kick their leg, that's exactly what would happen to me. Like, no question in my mind.
Shatter your leg.
Yeah, I think that's what
I mean, it was horrible. I mean, it was just horrible to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, it made me physically ill, obviously. And that's without watching the replays. I didn't watch the slow motion replay. I just couldn't watch it. I mean, I saw it in real time and that was enough. And ironically, not ironically, but I've been watching a lot more MMA in quarantine because Becca actually likes it. It's like the one sport that she likes.
But yeah, what was Becca's reaction?
Oh, I mean, neither one of us enjoyed it. But Becca is like, she's really into medical stuff. Like she's, you know, she's an occupational therapist and she knows a lot about anatomy and everything. And so she watched the replays because she was like, well, I just want to see what happened. And then it was funny because I wouldn't watch. So I had my like shirt pulled up over my head because I didn't want to see it. And Becca just went, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. And then and I was like, and she's like, oh, it's even worse than I thought it was. She's like, it's both of his bones. She's like, I thought it might only be one, but it was definitely his tibia and fibula. And then as she's explaining, she's like, oh my God, because they showed it again. I'm like, why did you watch the second replay? Yeah. She's like, I didn't see enough of it on the first
one. I feel like MMA, they will show those replays, whereas in other sports, they won't as much.
Well, that's
like,
the other thing that was crazy is that they showed the replay in the stadium. So this guy is fucking laying on the floor
and
in the octagon in agony. The doctors are out like rushing out to stabilize his leg and whatever. And all he hears is the whole crowd going, oh, ah!
Do you think anyone in the crowd barfed because of it?
Oh, super possible.
I bet you
if you were sitting
did,
ringside,
right?
For sure.
Because you'd hear it too. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. So the only one that I think is worse maybe is the Kevin Ware one.
Oh, for, that was fucking disgusting.
Louisville basketball, I think.
Yeah, and I can't remember. But
he goes up for a rebound or something, and then that one
wasn't
was worse.
Was it a jump shot? I think it was just a jump
maybe
shot,
it
and then
was.
He like came down on someone's leg, right?
I think it was something like that, and
or
I believe that
foot.
That was one of the ones where the bone actually came out, I think. Anyway, that one
it's
is
possible
worse, but
Weidman's bone came out too. We just didn't see it.
That's true. But the Weidman one was real. Anyway, that's the nasty shit I wanted to talk about today. I'm sorry.
Oh, it was fucking horrible.
Yeah.
It was
John, do you have something pleasant for us with your social media update?
What I want to talk about is a car crash leg break. And it was crazy. I don't know if you guys saw this. No, I'm joking. What I'm going to talk about, I tweeted this. It's not really like a social media thing, but I did tweet it. So technically it qualifies. I saw the worst bid in Jeopardy history.
Oh, yes.
This
I want to hear more about this.
And it blew my mind. Jenny, are you a Jeopardy fan at all?
I like Jeopardy. I haven't watched it in a very long time.
Okay.
But so, I heard that LeVar Burton is going to guest host Jeopardy, and that's fun.
He is. Yep. He's one of the guest hosts. They got a few ghouls coming up as well. So it's going to be a nice mix of like cool people that we like and then some like very questionable people who should most certainly not get the job. Yeah. So what happened was there was obviously three contestants, and the guy in first had exactly double what the guy in second had. Okay. So he had 21,200. The guy in second had 10,600. The person in third was a non-factor. She had like 6,000 something. So she could never catch the leaders. So in this situation, so Jeopardy, it used to be that if there was a tie, both of the champions would return the next day. So who, if it was a tie, it was just considered you both won, you both get to come back.
Yeah.
And then now they've changed it. So if you tie, there is a tiebreaker question. So in this situation, if you're in first, you have the option. You can bid zero. If the person gets it right and bets it all and you tie, you can take your chances in the tiebreaker question, or you can bid $1 hoping that you get Final Jeopardy right and you win by a dollar, and that they get it. Even if they get it right, you still win by a dollar. So the only two possible betting options in this situation for the first place player were to bid $1 or $0. He was never, ever bidding any other amount of money. Third place could not catch him. Your only move in second place to win the game is to bet it all and then hope that he bids zero and you tie, or he bids a dollar and gets it wrong and you win. He bid $3,000.
The guy in second.
Yes, the guy in second bid $3,001.
Did he get
just
it
basically,
right?
Yes. So, and then that's the worst part. He got it right. The guy in first got it wrong, and he bid a dollar. He bid a dollar to try and win it on Final Jeopardy. So if the guy in second bid it all, he would have been the champion. And it's literally
the
only
move.
Who
was the host this episode?
Anderson Cooper.
And what was his reaction?
Oh, weird.
I feel like he didn't necessarily notice. He didn't like, I feel like Alex might have commented on it. I don't know that Anderson Cooper, he probably wouldn't, you know, Alex didn't really give a shit, right? So Alex would have been like, oh, you know, bit of interesting bidding, but we'll see Frank back here on Monday or whatever. I feel like Anderson's maybe not as familiar with everything. So he just was kind of like, all right, well, great win. We'll see you back here on Monday, whatever. It was crazy. I mean, they're just, he did not give himself a chance to win.
Is it nerves, do you think? Is it just nerves or?
Maybe, but I mean, there was no scenario in which the person in first bid anything more than $1. The absolute max he ever had to bid was a dollar. So I just, honest to God, it was like I was watching Chris Weidman get his leg broken. Like I was like, my jaw hit the floor. I couldn't believe it. I've never seen a bid that bad. It was shocking. So I tweeted this and a lot of people agreed with me. I mean, big Jeopardy heads obviously know what's going on. They were just like, they were in the same position as me. They were stunned. They were shocked. It was nuts. I couldn't believe it. But the guy was a Marine. So like, who cares if he wins?
What was the question? Do you remember?
Let me see
if maybe Jenny and I can get it.
Okay, yeah, the question was, let me see if I'll go to the Jeopardy fan just to make sure I get the wording right. I know what the question was, but I don't want to screw it up, so.
Right.
I'm confused. Did I win with that bet?
So, no, he lost. So, if he had bet it all, which was his only move in that situation, he would have won because the guy in first bid $1 and got it wrong. So he finished with $21,199. And if the guy in second had bid at all, he would have had $21,200. So that's why the bid made no sense at all.
Yeah. Because he had exactly half.
Correct. So here's the question. We'll see if you guys can get it right. Stefan, I think you have a chance at getting this right. Jenny, I don't know. I don't know if you are as familiar with movies, but the category is movie title characters.
Okay.
In this 2012 film set just before the Civil War, a German dentist declares that the title character's surname is Freeman.
Oh, Django Unchained.
That's right.
Huh.
Okay.
I just watched that recently.
Christoph Waltz is a dentist. He's got the big tooth on his. Yeah. Have you seen that, John? I mean, no, you haven't. No. Okay. But would you have gotten it?
No, Becca got it right. But I did not get it right. The other two contestants guessed 12 Years a Slave. And the category was movie title characters. So.
Yeah, that's okay. Well, oh man. That's I saw you post about it and I was like, John is probably legitimately so mad about this.
I was so mad. I literally wrote, I was shaken to my core, and that is true. It's like it's honestly like the way I watch Jeopardy is
sorry.
That's okay. I'm a Jeopardy freak. I'm not afraid to say it.
Yeah.
It's honestly like watching sports for me. It would be like watching the Leafs like lose in overtime. Like it was like the same kind of, it was just like I literally had my hands on my head and I was like, and I was saying, I was like, what is he? What did he do? What is he? And Becca finally had to be like, okay, you don't know this guy. Like, shut up. And I can't believe this. And she's like, oh, you're going to tweet about it? And I was like, yes, of course I'm going to tweet about it. It was crazy. So that's my social media update. Great.
Very nice.
Anyway,
thank you,
that
John.
Guy blocked himself from winning Jeopardy. And speaking of blocking, let's move on to our hell block.
What did you tweet? You brought receipts. Blocked hell. Woo! No longer can see the post. It's a blocked tail. Woo! You probably deserved it. It's a blocked tail.
All right, Stefan, this is it's 10 of these now. We've made it to, it's a nice round number, a decade. You know, you've done well. Tell us about your block.
This is one that, first of all, I feel like we haven't done a hell block in a little while. So it's nice to get back into this. And we have discussed this one on the show way back in 2019 when it actually happened. But my block in this episode is Chuck Wendig, who is an author. He writes a lot of like Star Wars novels and like sci-fi novels and that sort of thing. And he writes a lot of like learn how to write books. And I'll give you some of the titles. Confessions of a Freelance Pen Monkey. Revenge of the Pen Monkey. It's a lot of stuff like that.
It's a lot of stuff about monkeys.
Sure. But his Twitter, I mean, look, there's nothing wrong with being sincere on your Twitter. But he has like the Lin-Manuel Miranda level of corniness going on with his Twitter.
Right.
And so he would post a lot of stuff about basically like variations on the theme of don't talk to me until I've had my coffee, but in just the corniest ways imaginable. And there was one post in particular that was so bad. And I referenced this earlier in the show that I just like stole it word for word with like no commentary on it or anything. I just posted it as my own post. And here is the post. I'm going to read this aloud. Wednesday, the day you flumpty foo and you think boopty bop and zippity zoom. But the truth is Raza Fraza was a wooza. What I'm trying to say is maybe your brain isn't working either, but that's okay because you're great. P.S. You need a firmware upgrade in the form of coffee.
Wow.
Yeah. So very bad post.
Sucks.
Yeah. And that's what the majority of his posts were and probably are still.
I hate
like.
It. I can't decide.
So
amazingly dumb.
I stole it. I stole it word for word. because it's funny to post. It's funny to post a bad post as your own. And you know, my followers, they get it. They understand the joke. The joke is that I would never actually post something like that. It's as simple as that. But, what ended up happening is that a lot of his followers, and again, this is, like I said, this is the best part of stealing a bad post, is that a lot of the fans of the person whose post I stole think I stole it because it's a good post and not because I would never post that. And it's a very, very bad post, in fact. So I was dealing with, this is back in July, 2019, a lot of like, if I'm scrolling through the replies to this post now, and it's a lot of, this tweet no longer exists. This account no longer exists. You've been blocked by this account. So I can't see all of the replies from his fans. But there are, you know, people quote tweeting the Chuck Wendig one and saying, oh, I sure wish I wasn't reading a stolen tweet.
Yeah, he must.
And then
I didn't say anything.
This is where the bit gets very good, is when someone calls you out on stealing a bad tweet. You just say that you posted it first or that they stole it from you with a completely straight face. And then what will hopefully end up happening is the fans of the person whose post you stole will post screen grabs side by side of the two posts and point out the time difference. And then at this point, what you do and what the correct strategy is to say, well, no, that's actually, it looks wrong for you because of time zones. Yeah. And you don't really delve into it any deeper than that. You just offer time zones as the explanation for it. And it drives them fucking insane because at this point they think you stole the tweet sincerely and they think you don't understand time zones. So now they're going to try and explain time zones to you and it just spirals out of control. But I think he eventually quote tweeted me and was like, yeah, like very funny. This guy stole my post and then just like fully blocked me. Producer Dan, I believe, is blocked by him too. John, you might be as well. I think he uses block list.
Oh, does he use a block list? Let me check.
I think he might.
Oh,
yeah. So
see.
It could be because you follow me. And Jenny, you might be blocked by him too, potentially.
No, I can see his tweets, baby.
Okay, so he's still posting, so it's not a block list.
And you know what? It makes sense. We're using him for content. Let's plug his new book. Just came out April 6th, and it's called You Can Do Anything, Magic Skeleton.
There you go. So,
kill me.
So like the other best part about getting into the time zone argument with people is that my followers will jump on board as well and kind of offer me free labor, which I really do appreciate. Thank you. And they'll start saying stuff like, there's a reply here from Morgan who says, Twitter doesn't factor in Canadian time zones. If you go into each tweet individually, you'll see that Stefan's was first. And again, it just drives these people absolutely insane. It's one of my favorite things to do. I need to do it again. The other one I did it with was this like youth pastor who posted something about the Avengers. Let me see if I can find that one. This is one of my favorites.
While you're doing that, I'm just going to point out Chuck Wendig retweeted a tweet from 3 hours ago from Michael Patrick Hicks. So Chuck Wendig is putting out a new book called The Book of Accidents that's coming out in July. And I guess this guy got a pre-read copy. And he wrote The Book of Accidents by Chuck Wendig, 5 stars. All the stars, all of them, God damn it, because holy shit. Expect this one to appear on a lot of this year's best of lists, and rightly so. And then if you go to Michael Patrick Hicks' page, his bio says, reader, writer, reviewer, ne'er-do-well. And it appears that he calls himself a reviewer because he's like a top-rated reviewer on Goodreads.
Right. That makes
so he's
sense,
like not actually a reviewer, he just... calls himself.
He posts a lot. I mean, look, I post a lot too, so I get it. But the other post that I stole, and I'll just
he
read
loves
this post
to retweet because, compliments, Chuck Wendig.
Yes.
Literally 4 of the last 5 things he's posted are just quote tweets.
I'm looking at this too. It's funny.
Wow. So here's, here's the other post.
Some guy wrote, sorry, Stefan, just finished Chuck Wendig's Book of Accidents and need to collect my thoughts. Review soon, but for now, wow. Fucking wow. And then he quote tweeted this with, fucking wow is everything an author wants to hear. So thanks.
Yeah. Or flumpty foo. They like hearing that.
Yeah, flumpty foo, flibbity flomp.
So the other post that I stole and did the time zones bit with was, dear hashtag Avengers, I know Thanos has you all preoccupied, but if you can dispatch a few web-slinging, gamma-irradiated, armor-suited peeps over to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, we're dealing with our own oddly colored madman trying to destroy humanity. Thanks. Hashtag Infinity War trailer. So this was obviously while Trump was president and right after the Infinity War trailer came out. And that was a similar thing. I almost did this post for this episode, but I figured I'd bring it up anyway. But the same thing happened. The guy got very mad at me for stealing it and thought I stole it because I thought it was a good post. And it was a bad post. So one of my favorite things to do online. I'm glad I got the chance to talk about it. And that's my hell block for this week.
Check Chuck Wendig. There we go, baby. Check Wendig. Yeah, this guy is, his Twitter sucks shit. So being blocked by him is actually good. I might try to get blocked by him now. I don't want to see this. This is horrible. Anyway, not a big deal. Congratulations, Stefan. Well done. Well worked. We don't do a listener block on Hell Blocks, so
nope. This
just brings us right into our top three.
3, 2, 1.
3, 2, 1.
Uno, 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 uno.
Mustard.
3.
Socks.
2.
Girlfriends.
Uno, 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 uno.
Jenny, what topic do you have for us, please?
Well, I was just thinking, since I've been making so many references, Has somebody done Simpsons before with you?
No. Oh, let's do it.
No, like
Simpsons characters that aren't in the family of the Simpsons.
Oh sure. Yeah. No, that's we definitely good. Haven't done that.
I love that.
What were you going to say?
No, I was just checking our top three board to see that we haven't done any Simpsons stuff, and we haven't, so
no,
you're good.
That's a great choice.
You're clean. What's Jenny, you want to start with your number three?
My number three.
It's a lot of characters. It's tough.
There's so many. I should have put more thought into this before. my top three, I mean, my number three might probably
it's tough. I'm trying to think too,
because I know there's two for sure that are in the list 100%, and I'm trying to figure out where I rank them, but number three is probably Flanders. Because I like how silly he is. He's fun.
I also like the recurring joke that he's like super jacked and has a huge penis.
Yeah.
And the shorts, or not the shorts, but the
the ski suit.
Skiing, yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing at all. Nothing at all. Yeah.
Do you think Ned fucks well, or does he just have a big dick?
I think he fucks well. Yeah, he fucks well.
Well, I've heard that, you know, he's very kind of joyful and careful and silly. And I bet that translates into the bedroom. He's fun. I bet he's a fun lover.
That's what I would say.
You had to have some practice because he grew up probably pretty sexually repressed, as you do in the staunch church. But,
okay.
Yeah.
Number church, I don't even know what I mean by that.
The staunch church as opposed to the lax church.
Staunchly. Church.
Yeah. Yeah, staunchly churchy. Number three for me, I think, is Chief Wiggum.
Nice.
The majority of the characters on The Simpsons are stupid in one way or another, but Chief Wiggum is a very funny kind of stupid and is responsible for one of my favorite jokes in the entire show, which is when Marge becomes a cop and she's going through the shooting range and there's like all the cutouts popping up. And one of them is like a baby carriage and one of them is like a blind man. And she like doesn't shoot them and she like gets everything else and does like a great job. And then Chief Wiggum comes out and he's like, you missed the baby. You missed the blind man. It's just a very good joke on several levels.
I think my favorite Chief Wiggum line is where Bart gets Sideshow Bob to sing the whole score of HMS Pinafore on the thing, and then they get to the end of the river and they arrest Bob, and Bart says, take them away, boys, and then Chief Wiggum's like, hey, that's my line, and then he says, bake them away, toys.
Yeah.
And then the cops are like, wait, what, Chief? And he's like, do what the kid said.
Yeah. That's my number three, John.
It's a great choice. Number three. Great choice. My number three, I probably got to go with Milhouse. I think especially because I grew up in the gifted program and stuff, I feel like I knew like 10 Milhouses / I was Milhouse. So I feel like just the sort of annoying best friend of the cool guy, is just a great, you know, he's just so perfect. And I think, yeah, he's not even he doesn't have a lot of like great standout lines, but just the characterization in general is just something that I level with so much that I always appreciate a good Milhouse moment or episode. So I think that's my number three.
Jenny,
your number two?
Number two. Man, I'm leaving out a lot of characters in this.
Oh, we all are. Yeah.
I had to cut Burns.
Wow.
Weather alert. But my number two is Snake because I love his voice so much.
Bye.
And when,
well, that was good.
Yeah, there's one where he, it's his, like, do you remember where Bart doesn't want to go to school and he's like, kind of like wills his immune system to like shut down so that he can stay? And it's that voice that's like, they're like the little cells in his body that's like, or no, the white blood cells are like, it's a school day, boys, lay down your weapons. And then that voice is like all right, let's make some boss.
Yeah.
I love it so much.
That's a great choice.
But also that character, yeah, he's the best.
My number two.
I love Snake too, for sure.
Yeah.
My number two. Oh, no. So, John, you mentioned Milhouse. I'm gonna go with Kirk Van Houten.
Nice.
My number two. He's just such a loser, but it's like so funny. Like, Can I Borrow a Feeling is such a good, like, stupid guy name for like a mixtape or like an album. You mentioned Snake earlier. You just mentioned Snake now, but like when he puts the wire across the road between the two trees to like get Homer in the convertible. And then Kirk Van Houten comes by and he's like holding a sandwich up and he's like shaking it because they didn't put enough like cheese in it or something. And it chops his arm off. I mean, that's so funny. And then obviously when he gets fired, I mean, I think one of the funniest jokes in the history of the show is when he gets fired by the cracker factory. And he's like, so this is it after 20 long years. So long, good luck. And the guy's like, I don't recall saying good luck. That's such a good joke. I love that. So Kirk Van Houten is my number two. John?
Right.
It's a great choice. My number two, I'm going to go with Troy McClure.
Yeah.
You know, you got to give it up to Phil Hartman. So funny. That character is so insane. Yeah. I just, anytime Troy McClure showed up in an episode, it was a good time. And I think what's crazy to me, obviously, Phil Hartman, such a comedic genius. I didn't watch it this Christmas, but last Christmas I watched Jingle All the Way again for the first time in a long time. And Phil Hartman is so fucking funny in that movie. It's crazy. It is just so crazy how funny he is just in general.
I don't watch that now.
But I think that was one that like he has no right. Like he shouldn't be even trying in this like piece of shit movie where Arnold Schwarzenegger is like trying to find this doll and then magically transforms into a superhero. It's just so, it's such a dumb movie. Mm-hmm. And Phil Hartman plays the like lascivious neighbor. Just, I mean, he's so good in it. It's hilarious. And so, yeah, I just love anything Phil Hartman does. And Troy McClure is incredible. So that's my number two.
Good choice. Jenny, number one.
Number one. I think it's Skinner.
Yep. Yep.
It's like, can't go wrong. Smithers, do I go with Grandpa or do I go with Skinner? But Skinner, because my favorite episode of all time of The Simpsons is Skinner's Sense of Snow when they get snowed into the school.
Yes.
Yeah. And Ralph wants his like toy and he's like, what is that? Some sort of plush novelty? Here, have a pillow pad. And he's just so, I don't know. I just love him. I love Skinner and I love when he gets. I love when Bart messes with him. I love that he lives with his mom. I love his romance with Miss Krabappel. It's just all so good.
That's a great choice. That's solid. That did remind me of, it's not a Skinner thing, but it's a Krabappel joke. But when Marge is like talking about Miss Krabappel and then Homer overhears and is like, her name is Krabappel? I've been calling her Crandall. Oh, I'm such a jackass. But my number one, John, you did Troy McClure. I gotta do this for my number one, Lionel Hutz.
Yeah, good choice.
Every Lionel Hutz appearance was better than the last. He's just incredibly funny. I think my favorite moment, and I had to look up the quote to confirm it. So he's talking about how he has problems with Judge Snyder, and he's talking to Marge about it. And he's like, well, he's had it in for me ever since I kind of ran over his dog. Well, replace the word kind of with the word repeatedly and the word dog with the word son. Which is such a dark joke. And he repeatedly ran over the judge's son. But it's so funny. And just the delivery on it is so perfect. But yeah, Lionel Hutz, I think, is my number one.
So good.
That's a good choice.
My number one is Mo.
I was going to say Mo as well. Like
I love Mo. Just everything about his like sad sack life is just so funny to me. His like longstanding crush on Marge. Anytime they've tried to like set Mo up with women, it just, everything about him is so funny. My favorite Mo quote is from the boxing episode where Homer is about to box Dredderick Tatum and he finds out about Mo's past as a boxer. And he says, they called me Kid Gorgeous. Later on, it was Kid Presentable, then Kid Gruesome, and finally, Kid Mo. which is like, he's so ugly. It's like his own word.
Just
like,
his name, yeah.
So good. Kid Gruesome wasn't bad enough. They just decided to call me Kid Mo. I just love that. So good. I mean, that's just, it just distills everything about Mo into like one set of, like, obviously Simpsons has been going for like 35 years. And I love when you can like cherry pick a quote from the first like 5 to 7 seasons of the show that just explains the entire character in one quote. And I think that one is it for me.
So. We could have done a top 10 for this easily.
Oh, yeah.
And not, and all had different characters. Like, it's so good.
Yeah, great top three, Jenny.
Thank you
for joining us on the show. Pleasure to have you back. Finally, we did it. Before we go, is there anything you'd like to plug?
Oh, you know, I'm just doing a whole bunch of shows. lots of packed venues. And
yeah, you forgot to mention you're a COVID denier, and you've been doing just...
That's right. Well, yeah. Freedom Rally, doing some jokes, sans mask. I heard someone call it that, by the way. There's a... Anyway.
They said sans mask.
No, freedom.
Oh, freedom rally, right? Because our freedoms are being repressed. That's like the big thing right now.
Yes.
Well, anyway, I don't want to talk about that. But no, absolutely nothing to plug whatsoever.
Well, people can follow you on Instagram for great plant content.
Sure.
At Jenny Taves, spelled phonetically T A V E S. Correct. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Awesome.
And then, you know, if you want to just go back through my Twitter and just hit, you know, like everything that I've ever done so that when I do get back on my asking for money bullshit, then people will at least know that I don't know what I'm talking about. I had 2 hot chocolates with Bailey's and I was also working on my budget app before this. So that's maybe why I have the money thing on the brain. Maybe, yeah, I'll plug, so my email is jennymtaves that you can eat friends for me. that would be much appreciated. That'd be really great. Yeah.
I hope people do. I hope people just email give you money off of this episode. You deserve it. And that's good because I was going to ask you for your email to send you a transfer. So
wonderful. Now, oh, that's very, what a pleasant surprise. I didn't expect that.
Well, I mean, we paid you last time you were on too, I think. Oh, no, you might have been on before we were paying guests.
I think you were, yeah.
So and now you know. I said yes without knowing that was part of it. So
what a genuine thing.
Now a precedent has been set. And
and when I'm out of money in the future, I will just ask you to be on the show. So I
can. So funny.
No, that's awesome. Thank you so much, Jenny. Great to have you on the show. Thanks to everybody. Speaking of money, thanks to everybody for donating to the show. We love you. We appreciate you. We hope you enjoyed this episode. We've got a lot more great bonus content coming up. We're going to be continuing our Canadian education program of foreign podcasters coming up in May. And we've obviously got lots of stuff going on all the time. So thank you for supporting the show. Thank you for donating. It means everything to us. And you guys are the best. And we'll see you back here very soon. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.